Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh no, that's good for a regular day, but good morning on Pentecost Sunday. Is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Yeah, can we go ahead and stand to our feet as we worship God this morning? This song says, "You called my name and I ran out of that grave." Anybody excited that God rescues you? Anybody excited that God saves you from your sin? Yes, Lord.
My shame, if you could carry that kind of weight, it was my tomb till I met you, and I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb, oh God, till I met you. Everybody say, "You call my name." And I ran out.
Into your glorious day,
you
that grave. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. You called my name and I ran out. You called my name, God, and I ran out of that grave. You know, the beautiful thing about the Lord calling your name is that sometimes it only takes one time for Him to call your name. It only takes one moment, one transformative way of life, one thing to happen for Him to call you out of all of the darkness, out of all of the lost moments, out of all of the sin, all of the things that you felt that you couldn't escape from. But it's just something so powerful about when the Lord calls your name. It's when my parents call me, whenever I'm home, and my parents, they need me. They can be in any part of the room, and I hear them call me, and I go to them. And that's just for a moment, because I know they need something. Here's the thing about the Lord. When He calls your name, you need something. He knows what you need. He knows what you stand in the need of. And here's the thing about running. We never stop running. The song says that we ran out of the grave, which means that we are still going, which means we have not given up, which means we are still fighting, which means that we still believe that there's an expected end, which means we're still going to keep the faith, which means we're not going to quit, which means we're not going to give up, because the Father who loved us, the Father who created us, He called our name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness, yeah, yeah. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness, into Your glorious name. Church, do you believe that this morning? Can we celebrate Jesus like we believe it? Can we celebrate Jesus like He called us out of the grave? Like that the sins that held you, the things that bound you don't bind you anymore. That you serve a God who sits high and looks low and who is still calling you out. He's still calling you to purpose. He's still calling you to vision. He's still calling you to greater. Can we celebrate that God? Can we celebrate that Jesus? The Jesus that is almighty. The Jesus that is still holy. The Jesus that is still sovereign. Can we celebrate that Jesus?
Looking at this song this week, and I'm going to tell y'all, this song is nothing more than a great big testament about how we should trust the Lord and let Him do what He does the best. That's take care of His children.
Mine. He's been my fourth man.
Lord said, seek and ye shall find. He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He's right there waiting. All you have to do is trust him. You seek his face. He's already got his hand out. All you have to do is reach up for him. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Y'all sing this from your hearts. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him.
Do you trust him?
That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord. To do is trust him. He wants to talk to you today. It says, God, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? Because you know, you don't walk by sight looking at things around you. You don't let those demons put you in a state of fear. You walk in faith, and that gives you that strength to get through anything. Walk by faith, he's right there with you. I will walk by faith, I don't walk by sight. I will walk by faith, I don't walk by sight. I trust in God. I trust in God.
Declare it this morning.
Trust him this morning.
Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord this morning. How many of you are trusting him? Come on. Trusting him for not only for salvation, but for leadership, for guidance, for provision, for everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible declares that all these things will be added unto you as well. Come on, God's got you today. He's got you today. You trust him. You trust him. You cannot put trust in man, but you can trust God. And the Bible declares that those who put their trust in him will never be put to shame. Come on, one more time. Let's worship God together. Hallelujah. Come on, lift it up. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Come on, sing that chorus one more time. I'm going to trust in God. Trust in him. And the scripture teaches us that those who do will never be put to shame. He's a faithful God. Amen. Come on, you can be seated in his presence today. Thank you so much for being a part of the worship today. Those of you who are worshiping online, welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church right here in Ahoskie, North Carolina. We're so glad you're with us. So glad that you tune in every week. And come on, guys, speak to the nations of the earth and tell them you're glad they're listening today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So glad to see you. So glad to see you today. Pastor Joy and I enjoyed a week of vacation. You know what a week of vacation is defined as? Flat screen TV and fast food. Come on, somebody. The beach was too windy, all right? It just was. It was, I mean, if you wanted to be sandblasted, it was a good week to be there. Waves were terrible. Beach was basically shut down. But you know what? We just learn how to just be still and know that he's God. Amen? Just be still and know that he's God. Sometimes God will use unusual things to get you still. He may just crash your whole plans, all right? You know, he just may do that. But anyway, we just are thankful that we were able to get away and just unplug and talk and just, you know, we had daily conversations about Carpenter Shop International Church. Daily conversations about, you know, where we're going and what's next and what do you think about this. And so it's just a wonderful time. And I had a chance to minister away too. You know, it's hard for a preacher to go somewhere and not get some connection somewhere along the way. Didn't preach on Sunday. Where was I Sunday? Watching you. Amen. Was watching you. Saw the whole thing from start to finish. And what a great word on walking again, that Monumental Faith series. And we just thank God for all of you. Thank God for every one of you. And volunteers, you guys are doing an amazing job in serving the ministry and serving the Lord with your calling. Wednesday nights, we're talking about spiritual gifting. Great place for you to get plugged in and allow God to speak to you about what you bring to the table when you come into the kingdom of God, your spiritual gift. We all got them, right? We all got them. Let's get them plugged in and see God do incredible things to help us touch Northeastern North Carolina and the world in a way like we never have before. Well, I greet you today and are glad that you're here. If you're a guest, please go by the table in the foyer, the Welcome Center. We have a free gift for you. We'd love to connect with you and get your information, place you on our mailing list, emailing list, and we just love to know who you are and where you're from, and we appreciate you being here today. Now's the time just to enjoy a time of worship through giving. Come on, give it up for the Lord and His faithfulness. Giving to the Lord. There's so many ways that you can give. If you look on the screen, you can check the QR code. Easily hit the QR code. It'll take you right to a place where you can use your smarty phone and give right online. And then there are other ways too. You can give by PushPay. You can give through the website. You can do an old-fashioned thing called writing a check. Amen. You can still do that. And guess what? We take cash, all right? We take cash. God takes cash. But let me just say this. So thankful for your faithfulness. Because you're faithful, we can do what we do to advance the kingdom of God in this region. Amen. God, you're so good. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have today just to give back a portion, Lord, of what you have blessed us with. We give you praise and honor, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you that your word declares that if we bring the tithe into the storehouse, that you would open windows of heaven, pour out blessing, rebuke the devourer for our very sake. God, we know you have us. You are faithful, and we trust you. We just sang about it, Lord, but we trust you even with our pocketbook. We trust you with our finances, our earnings, our investments, all of these things, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon this church in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give. The kids' worship team is coming under Shante's direction to worship the Lord and minister to you while you're giving today. So the buckets are on the front here. If you'd like to come forward at this time to give, we appreciate it. Thank you, Shante, for working with the kids. Come on, give her a hand for establishing the dance team for the kids. Amen. Praise God. Excited about what God is doing in all ages. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. At this time, we'd like to just recognize a couple of people. Josh Blevins, are you here this morning? Praise God. Is Josh in the house? Praise God. Also, Krista Faison Hall, would you come? Amen. And your family. Please have your family to come. Hallelujah. Today is a challenging day for you guys, because today is the last day that Krista Faison Hall and her family will be with us at Carpenter Shop International Church. This is not a good time to clap, okay? Come on, guys. But it is a good time to clap when you give honor. So Josh, come on the platform here. Praise the Lord. As Josh is coming, let me remind you that his family is in tremendous need of prayer. His mom has been struggling in her health for many, many weeks. And since you've seen Josh, he's a proud papa now. Amen? Come on. Nighttime feeds, diaper changes. He's qualified, y'all. He's qualified. Josh, we just want to recognize you today in appreciation and honor to Josh Blevins for faithful leadership, heartfelt service to the music department of Carpenter Shop International Church, May 28th, 2023. Man, we miss you, but we know God's got a lot going on in your life. Would you give it up for Josh Blevins today? Praise the Lord. Thank you, my friend. Praise the Lord. So today's a challenging day. Josh stepped aside from the worship team and is dealing with his family. And it's simultaneously a newborn, and then his mom goes through a devastating challenge in her health. Please pray for her, would you? Please pray for the family. They've got a long ways to go yet, and she's on the list for lung transplants, and she's still in Chapel Hill, so be much in prayer for that family. Matter of fact, right now, let's just join our hands right where you're seated right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, God, we've sang about it this morning, about how we trust you. And so today, we just raise our hearts and our voices, Lord, just to ask you for Christy Blevins, God, and her family. Lord, would you make provision in a supernatural way, God? Would you make provision, right place, right time, right lungs, in Jesus' name, God? We thank you, God, for doctors and their abilities and all that they are doing for her hourly. Father, we just trust you because you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And we give you praise for touching her and touching her family, God, as they walk through this time of crisis. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in appreciation for an honor to Krista Faison Hall for exceptional leadership and unwavering commitment to the music department of Carpenter Shop International Church, May 28th, 2023. Not just her, but the package, all right? Come on, guys. You love these guys? Seen incredible growth. God doing exceptional things, so we present that to you. And just for you guys this morning, why don't you just kind of step to the front and turn around and look at the screen, and we want to share a tribute to you on the video this morning. Amen? on, y'all. Hey, you know what? It's taken me a while to break old habits. I'm telling you, back up and look at the screen. Come on, y'all. Appreciate this wall this morning. Wow. Oh, wow. So much appreciation for you. Can I just breathe a prayer over your family right now? Come on, stretch your hand out this way, guys, as our worship team comes and ministers to us one more song before we go into the word today. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, Lord, we just come to you today, God, with gratitude in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Your word declares that one's gift will make room for them. And Lord, we thank you for this season, God, in their lives where they deposited into us. Week after week, Lord, we've watched them grow. We've watched development. We've watched victories, God. And Lord, we just thank you that you're in control of everything, our lives. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And so, Lord, we trust you with this step. We trust you with this step. The word says you go out with joy and are led forth with peace. And so today we embrace this, God, even though we would like to be selfish. But, Lord, we trust you. We trust you, God, and we know that you have all things in your heart for this family, for our church, God, for these kids. And, God, we just bless you in Jesus' name for the gift that exists in this family. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise, y'all. Hallelujah.
Brother Corey, can he bring the stand? Because I love hands free too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to worship with us. Because all of our lives, God has been faithful, and he's going to continue being faithful. Amen. Worship with us this morning.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. In every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the good.
Yes, you have.
All my life.
Wow. I don't know about you, but I've never heard you do one that I didn't like. But that one's my favorite of yours. Amen. Amen. And I know for Josh, for you, Krista, for your families, your best years are ahead of you. Your best years are ahead of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. God has richly blessed this ministry by all those who come through these doors. So many, over and over and over again. God loves this place and He loves these people. And He is glad you are here today. Hallelujah. Well, I get the opportunity. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. I'm not going to be long. I have the opportunity again to introduce friends of our family. We met this precious, precious couple in 2020. Right in the middle of all that yuck. But yet we've stayed connected and we've seen them do great things. In 2 years, this missionary couple is renowned in North Carolina, I can tell you. Everywhere I go, I can mention their name and everybody knows them. Everybody knows them. They've done great things for the kingdom. We've had a chance to partner with them. We've over these last 3 years, I've seen them here. I've seen them in Cote d'Ivoire several times. And you know, they're always on the go. They are committed. They are sold out to Jesus and the spread of His gospel. So right now, I ask you to give that warm northeastern North Carolina welcome to Kevin and Mariah Thompson.
Mike, for the warm introduction. Hello, everybody. It's Pentecost Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. We are so happy to be with you again. Like Mike said, it's been 2 years that this church has been supporting Kevin and I. We are Ryan Kevin Thompson. I almost missed that part. And we serve in West Africa, the Ivory Coast. It's between Liberia and Ghana. We've been training there for 2 years. And today makes 2 months that we've been back in America, and we are so happy to be fellowshipping with you at this church and to say face-to-face, thank you so much for all the ways that you've undergirded us while we were training for 2 years. Prayer makes a huge, huge difference. We have been spared. God has given us grace and favor in so many ways because you pray for us and because He called us as well. We're just happy to be here face to face. I see familiar faces and I see lots of new ones too. That's great. Kevin is going to share a little bit about who we are and how we got here and the vision that the Lord has given us.
Amen. Amen. Give her a hand clap. Amen. I tell you, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You can tell me that, can't you? Amen. God has been good. Hey, God has been good. I thank God for Mariah. She's been a huge help to our ministry, not only in Western Africa while we've been there for the past 2 years, but she's been a huge blessing as we travel North Carolina. She has never met a stranger. She loves to connect with people. She loves to fellowship. She even writes snail mail. How many of y'all know somebody that likes snail mail? She loves to connect with people any and every way possible. And I just am so honored to have her as my wife. I just want to open up in a quick word of prayer real quick before we get started here. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for every opportunity you've given us across this great state to speak to people about our heart. This testimony that you've given me, God, I am honored that you allow me to speak in so many places. But right now, I pray in Jesus' name for this congregation, for Carpenter Shop International Church. I pray that their ears would be attentive and alert, that they would accept the things that you would teach them today, that they would go forward from this place with a new vision, that they would go from this place hearing the word of God and motivated by faith to impact not only their community, their family, their workplace, but that they would go from this place and impact the world for your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's see what time it is. All right. So we walk by faith and not by sight. That is who we are. We are the body of Christ, a community of believers that are gathered together walking in faith. In things that we can't see, we trust God that He will take care of our needs, that He will hear our prayers, that He will reach the nations, that He will do things that only He can do. We believe that with everything that is inside of us. And we move knowing that God goes before us, God is behind us, that He has ordered our steps. He orders the steps of the righteous. But there was one time in my life that I didn't believe any of that was true. I thought it was all a made-up fairy tale. I thought Jesus was never a real person. I thought the Bible was completely made up by crazy people. I couldn't believe anything in the Bible could ever possibly happen. And I hated Christians for it. My mother, when I was a small child, she began to tell me about God and tell me about His plan for my life and tell me about the goodness of Jesus and try and share the Bible with me. But I just wasn't having it. At 12 years old, I began to use drugs. By 15, I was a full-blown alcoholic. And I surrounded myself with people that were like-minded. People that did the same thing that I did. See, I found myself rebelling against my parents in three ways. You see, children rebel against the things that their parents value. I rebelled against Christianity, so I became an atheist. My mom, she valued Christianity. My parents valued education, so I became a terrible student. And my parents valued sobriety, and so I became a drug addict. And I surrounded myself with people that would be verbal and vocal with me against Christianity and would support my habit and support my rebellion against authority, support my rebellion against my parents. I wanted people to be around me that would influence me in that way. And it wasn't until I was 22 years old when the opportunity came for me to move from wonderful, cold North Carolina to sunny Long Beach, California. I moved there at 22 years old, desiring to live a lifestyle of drugs and debauchery and promiscuity and all these different things. But really, it was just an attempt to run away from what my mom was telling me. It was an attempt to run away from God. Very quickly, I found myself homeless, sleeping in the beach, sleeping in parks, sleeping in abandoned houses. I found myself on harder and harder drugs. And in an attempt to end it all, to make it all go away, because I didn't believe heaven or hell were real. I didn't believe God was real. I just thought it would be darkness if I would just end it all. So I attempted suicide one day. I laid in the highway for a good long while waiting for a car to come by, and thank God nothing happened. I laid there and laid there and laid there, and nothing ever happened. on a dark North Carolina country road, I just waited. And I got up, I brushed myself off, and I walked on to the hospital. I said, there's something seriously wrong. I need medication. Something's got to be broken inside. You got to fix it. So I went to the hospital. They gave me a long list of medicine, $400 or $500 of medicine every single month. And my dad said he wasn't going to do it. Thank God. But I ended up in the hospital. And there was this guy, he came to me. And I knew he wasn't a preacher. I knew he wasn't a pastor. Because I knew what kind of clothes they wore. I knew what kind of shoes they had on. I knew how they tied their tie. I could smell a preacher from a mile away. And I wanted nothing to do with him. But this guy was different. This guy didn't have that going on. This guy came to me and he brought me a book. And it wasn't a Bible. I knew what they looked like. I ripped up a mini of them when I was a child. And to anger my mother, I ripped up a mini Bibles. So I knew what Bibles looked like. But this guy, he gave me a book. It was different. It was called An Anchor for the Soul, a book written by Ray Pritchard. I read through this entire book, and it spoke of a different type of Jesus, a different Jesus than I grew up with, because the only Jesus I knew growing up was the one represented by terrible Christians. You see, I grew up around Christians that were textbook hypocrites. They went to church on Sunday, they complained about the message Sunday evening, and they forgot it all by Monday. These are the types of Christians I grew up around. My mother, she married a pastor. They were together, living together for 2 years. They got married, and 15 days later, he vanished and blamed it on me. I grew up around Christians that were terrible people. And I knew that if I wanted to be a good person, I could do it without some fairy tale. I could do it without people telling me how to live my life. You see, my whole life I was growing up, my dad said, my house, my rules. When you turn 18, you can get your own house, make your own rules. But that was all a lie. Because when you turn 18 and you move out and you get your own house, you find out you got to pay taxes. You find out you got a boss. Your boss is going to tell you what to do. You don't even live with him. It was all a lie. But I read through this entire book. And at the very end of the book, it told me of a God of forgiveness. A God that sees you. A God that cares about you. A God that's counted every hair on the top of your head. That knows you by name. It told me that Jesus was a real person by verifiable facts. That the Bible was true by verifiable facts. And me, I'm very practical. I like chess. I wanted somebody to break it down and tell me why you believe what you believe. But every Christian I ever met just believed because they were told to. They just believed because they thought it was the right thing to do. They just believed because they had a warm feeling inside. But the Bible was true. And for the first time in my life, in August 28th of 2015, I believed the words in the Bible were true. I believe that Jesus was a real person and that he really gave his life for me. I read the words in John 14 and 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one gets to the Father except through me. And I said, this is real. And I accepted Christ that day in August 28th of 2015 for the very first time in my life. But not just anywhere. You see, my mom died in 2014 of breast cancer. I ended up accepting Christ in the very room where my mother died, not even 6 months prior. She prayed for me her whole entire life that I would accept Christ, just like any praying grandmother, just like any praying aunt, just like any praying parent. They want their children to know God. And she prayed and prayed. And she now is counted with those in Hebrews 11 who never saw their promise come to fruition. She never saw it while she was here on this earth. She never saw me come to Christ. But she is the example of faith that I have today. Because when God says something, he's faithful to do it. Yes? But I had a desperate problem when I got saved. You see, I was hooked on drugs and alcohol. I was hooked on loose living and rebellion against authority. I was hooked on all the things the world told me were normal. I was hooked on all the things that I had been taught by making bad decisions. They teach you things. Good or bad, they teach you. I was hooked on these things, and I didn't know what to do. And so I went to the only man I knew that could help me. He was a preacher in Sanford, North Carolina, a man that I had previously threatened in his own church. I almost punched him in his face in his own church. I spit in his face. I cussed at him in front of everybody. I went to this man, and his wife will tell you to this day, she didn't even recognize me as the same man when I showed up after I got saved. My countenance had completely changed. But I went to this man, and I said, I believe the words are true. I believe the Bible is real. I believe that God cares about me. But what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? How do I change? I was barely reading the Bible. I was just trying to figure it out. The spirit man within me was just beginning to understand spiritual things. And he said, you kind of need to expedite the process. What you need is discipleship. What you need is somebody to sit in the passenger seat beside you and teach you when you need to turn, when you need to slow down, when you need to speed up. That's how you learn how to drive. You got to have somebody in the passenger seat beside you. You can't just reach in a glove box and pull the manual out from your little Toyota Pilot and read the manual and hope you can figure out how to drive. You need somebody beside you. And he told me I know just the place. So in June of 2015, I entered the Sandhills Teen Challenge program here in Carthage, North Carolina. I completed the Teen Challenge program in 2016. I began to work on staff there, and shortly after is when I met Mariah. But while I was in the program, I learned of something that's called the 1040 window. It's a portion of the earth. If you have a globe, the 10-degree latitude and the 40-degree latitude marks. It's a band completely around the globe that is hostile to the gospel. Hostile. They estimated in 2018 that over 65% of the entire planet is known to harass Christians. 65% of the world. There are 3 billion people on this earth today that don't know Christ. 3 billion people on this earth that don't know forgiveness, that don't know the love of Christ, that don't know the words in 1 John 4:19, you love because I first loved you. That don't know these words of Jesus in John 14:6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. 3 billion people. If we believe what Jesus said in John 14:6, that no one comes to the Father except through him, those 3 billion people are going to hell, and there's no way around it. We can't preach another gospel. There is no other gospel that can save. It says in Acts 4:12 that salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name given by which man can be saved. If we truly believe that, then 3 billion people are going to hell tomorrow. And I began to pray. It says in Matthew 9:37-38 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field. What sticks out to me is it's his field. It's not mine. I'm a steward of it. I'm going to work. He said pray that servants would be sent out, that laborers would be sent out, that global workers would be sent out, so that these people could hear the message. And I prayed, Lord, would you use me one day? Look at all of these people that are perishing. Lord, what would you have me do? I have no skills, no abilities, barely made it through high school. If you would send me to a place that doesn't speak English, that's 120 degrees at night, that if I carry a Bible in public, I'll be stoned to death. If you send me to one of those places, I'll go. I'll do whatever you want. Because who else is going? I didn't know anybody. I prayed for missionaries I didn't even know existed. I didn't even know if the Lord was still doing this. I was praying, Lord, who is going? And then who's replacing them? Forget who's going when they die, when they're put in prison, when their family's tortured to death in front of them. Who's replacing them? We should be going in droves. Thousands of us should be pouring overseas. Lord, who is going? I will. And I prayed for countries I couldn't even pronounce. I prayed for places I didn't even know existed. I prayed for Christians I didn't even know were still alive. I began to pray to the Lord of the harvest that if he would use me, I would go. And he told me that he would use me. He told me that I would go to Africa. More specifically, he told me I would die in Africa. And I said, Lord, I'll do it. I don't care where it is. I don't care what you have. I was full of zeal. I was eager. I was itching. I was ready. I was on fire. But it wasn't his timing. I sound like Thomas in John chapter 11 and 16. When Jesus is with his disciples and they're planning to go because Lazarus is sick or he's falling asleep or whatever, the disciples are all with Jesus. And they're like, we just left there. They tried to kill us. Jesus said, no, we got to go to Jerusalem. The disciples are like, this is crazy. Why would we go back to Jerusalem? And Thomas, what we know Thomas says is doubting Thomas, right? But in this instance, he didn't doubt the Lord at all. He said, let us go with him that we may die also. That's what Thomas said. Where is Jesus at today? I'm on the way. I'm following the shepherd. To death, slaughter, or otherwise, I'm following him. And that's what Thomas said here in John 11 and 16. But it wasn't his timing. You see, God was giving me time to understand what his will for my life was. Because at that moment, I could have just ran. I could have bought a passport and jumped overseas and floundered around a little bit, caused a bunch of ripples, made a big mess, and just died. But that was not his plan. His timing was different. His timing is perfect. And so he led me to a scripture we're going to get in today. Welcome to the longest introduction you've ever been to. We're going to get into the scripture. It's Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We're going to jump right in here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. A living sacrifice. Say hallelujah. Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read it. Therefore, reading out of the NIV, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is, good, pleasing, and perfect. Only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is. God told me that I would go to Africa. He told me exactly what I would do. He told me I would preach the gospel to people that had never heard. He told me I would go. He told me I would die. He didn't give me all the steps. You see, as Americans, we're really caught up on outcomes. What happens if I give this guy money? What happens if I bring him into my home? What happens if I help him get into Teen Challenge? What happens if I lead this person to the Lord? We're all caught up on outcomes. We're all worried about outcomes. I'm glad that the Lord doesn't give all the steps. He just asks us to be obedient. It reminds me of Jonah. When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, you see, his disobedience landed him in a much worse place than his obedience would have. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to work there. But his disobedience landed him in a much smellier place than his obedience would have. If he would have just went, forget all the steps. It reminds me of Abraham. When the Lord told him to sacrifice his beloved son, Isaac, he told him to climb the mountain and sacrifice him there on the altar. And he believed so deeply that Romans tells us he made up his own outcome that was in favor of God. He said he believed that God would even raise his son from the dead if he killed him there on the altar. He made up a good outcome, not a negative one. He didn't say, if I climb this mountain, I sacrifice my son, and my son is gone. What am I going to do, oh Lord? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to the other people? He said, the Lord's going to raise him from the dead anyway. That's what faith is. You see, faith is more than a hopeful expectation. Faith is so much more than hope. It's the knowledge that God is going to do what he said he would. What did God tell Abraham? He would make him into a great nation, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In Genesis 22:18, it says that all of the nations would be blessed because of his obedience. You know, that's the first time in all of Scripture that the word obedience is used. Genesis 22:18. God didn't use it with the fall of man or with Adam and Eve in the garden. He didn't use it with Noah. He didn't use it with the Tower of Babel. He said, all nations would be blessed because you have obeyed me. What nations will you bless if you obey? If you stop worrying about the outcomes, what'll happen if I give this money? What'll happen if I do this thing? What'll happen if I go to Africa? What'll happen if I obey? Jonah was worried about outcomes. We're not called to be like Jonah. We're called to be like Abraham. He's the father of the faith. We're called to follow him. We're called to follow Jesus. It says in Hebrews 5 that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. What can you suffer today? You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're not called to be lumps on a log. We're called to be active members of the body of Christ. You can't be a living sacrifice and immobile. You must be active. You must be engaged. You must be intentional and purposeful. As God has called you to be obedient and to follow him in every area of your life, what have you held back? What have you decided not to sacrifice? What have you decided not to give? I remember back in the 80s, before I was born, I've heard the song, Lord, please don't send me to Africa. That was a famous song back in the 80s. I fear that many of us have decided that their living sacrifice is giving their 10%. That their living sacrifice is coming to church for an hour and a half on Sunday. That their living sacrifice is having a Bible on their shelf. I tell you, Jesus wants all of you, and nothing less will do. He has called you to follow him. I think the Apostle Paul modeled it best in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. It says, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but that they should live for him who died for them and was raised again. He said it again in Galatians 2:20. Therefore, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live for the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. That's what a living sacrifice is. It's a life totally sold out to the gospel. And I believed that with everything in me, and I was itching to go. I said, Lord, if you'll have me, I'll go. I don't know if it's ignorance or obedience, but I'll do it. A real Isaiah 6 type moment. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. I said, Lord, if all these people are perishing, why do you tarry? Why is it that I haven't gone yet? And he said, everything in life has a process. So if I called you to be a doctor, you got to go to school. You don't just get magical operating powers. You got to do some stuff to get where I got you. You see, Abraham couldn't sacrifice his son until he had his son. There's some stuff you got to do first. And so I said, what is it? Let's figure it out. Let's start. Let's begin this process. I got a passport. I got credentials. I started serving in any and every way possible. Everything the church had that I could do, I did it. Even stuff I didn't know how to figure out. I did everything as a living sacrifice. Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Let's do it for Jesus. Let's honor him with our bodies. Let's honor him with our finances. Let's honor him with our relationships. And within 2 years of me leaving the Teen Challenge program, my wife and I landed in Africa for the very first time in 2018. And they have a proverb. It says, the dust of Africa will never leave the soles of your feet. The dust of Africa will forever be with you. And what it means is you'll always have an itch. You'll always have a desire to go back. You'll never forget what happened there. And I remember while I was serving in Swaziland, Southern Africa, I'd finally arrived at the place God had called me. I'd finally arrived in Africa to do what God wanted me to do. And it was the day of me leaving Africa. And I sat there in that little restaurant in the airport, and I pouted, and I threw a little fit, and I don't want to eat. I'm not doing nothing. And I'm in Africa. I know I'm supposed to be here, but his timing wasn't right. But the Lord who knows you, the Lord who cares about you, saw me there pouting in that little pizza restaurant in Johannesburg. And the waitress, she came up to me. She said, what do you want to drink? I'm upset. I want a Coke. I'm like, oh, give me a Coke. Leave me alone. Give me a Coke. She went and she came back. This is back when Coca-Cola's had names on them. You can guess where I'm going. I'm in Africa. Everybody's got weird names. The Coca-Cola says Kevin on it. This is getting ridiculous. I was so upset. And yet God just dropped a little thing. I see you. Don't worry about it. It's an outcome thing. Stop worrying about the outcomes. He said, I got you, Kevin. And I threw my hands up and I said, ah, get out of here. Leave me alone. And I kept pouting. But the Lord didn't forget it. It was 2 years later, after Mariah and I had submitted to another process, another step to lifelong missions in Africa, after two more years, we signed up to go to Cameroon. Many of you remember us from 3 years ago. We were going to Cameroon. God said, stop worrying about the outcomes. And he shut Cameroon down. Oh, my goodness. Everything's falling apart around me. Woe is me. My Isaac is dead on the altar. What am I going to do? The Lord said, forget about it. I got you. And he changed the program. He changed our pace. And he sent us to Ivory Coast. It ended up being much better because in Cameroon, they speak English and French. Well, God had called us specifically to minister in French-speaking Africa. Over 27 countries in Africa speak French as their main language. So if we go somewhere and we can learn French, we can be effective in many different parts of the 1040 window that are hostile to the gospel. I'm talking about Niger, over 97% Islamic. Chad, over 90%. Burkina Faso, these places that speak French that are hostile to the gospel. That's our target. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to serve. But we got to learn French. Well, it turns out the missionaries in Ivory Coast have master's degrees in French. Who would have thought? Whereas if we would have went to Cameroon, we would have operated mostly in English, and it would have actually inhibited our progress. So we submitted. We said, yes, Lord, we'll do it. And Ivory Coast has been a wonderful place, a nice culture. They're warm and welcoming. They love everybody. But there's the reality. 6 million people lost. 6 million people without the gospel. Mostly in the far north area, over 40% Islamic. Dangerous to the gospel in some of these areas. While we were there, we did a lot of different things. We did Operation Christmas Child. Anybody know what that is? We gave out over 600 gifts in 2 years. We did water filter projects where we distributed water filters to people that are dying of diarrhea and typhoid. We saw God move and do miracles. We saw hundreds of kids saved, dozens of adults. but the ministry that we've become the most attached to, the ministry that we're most excited about, has been Africa Tabernacle Evangelism. We've been building churches not only in Ivory Coast, but in other countries around the area, where we've been able to partner with Assemblies of God churches and like-minded believers, not just in the Assemblies of God, but anybody in the Evangelical Alliance. We're able to partner with them and help them to grow and develop, because our vision is to see a healthy church within walking distance of every African in the continent. We want to see healthy churches. And the truth is, when you go into a village and you see an old, beat-up, dilapidated church that's barely got enough room to hold the pastor and his family, what's it going to do for the people in the village? Who are they going to reach? Where can they even go? So we're able to partner with them and help them to get a permanent structure. And many times these congregations double or triple in size. These buildings, we buy all the material there. The cost is $8,500. We buy everything in country. It helps the community. It helps the locals. We fabricate everything in the country, and then we ship them to places that need it the most. In the past 2 years, Mariah and I have built 21 of these churches. It's true that God has given us favor and he's protected us from death and disease and sickness and all these different things, different dangers. But we're actually entering into territories that have never before been reached with the gospel. Because we can partner with churches, with African churches in Ivory Coast, to go into places, because they know when they evangelize, when they reach the lost, they will be able to reach their community. They know that it actually means something. And what it does is it empowers the people of Ivory Coast to evangelize. They have a vision to plant 5,000 churches in the next 5 years. And we're able to help them accomplish their vision. We're able to help them. But as we're going back to Ivory Coast, God is continuing to tell us that our vision isn't big enough. That what we have planned is not really by faith. We're planning based on what we can see, what's attainable, what's in front of us. It's not by faith. You see the main difference between Pentecostals and everyone else is we believe God can do anything. We believe by faith he can do above and beyond anything you think or imagine. Anything that we could ask or imagine. The Lord is bigger than all of it. And he's reminding us that our faith has been too small. And since we planted 21 in the last year, our vision is to build 10 churches in our first year back in Ivory Coast. When we leave in early 2024, we're gone for 3 years. We plan to build 30 churches in 3 years. That's what we want to do. But the vision is too small. We can't help them build 5,000 churches in 5 years if we do 30 in three. The vision is too small. Our plan was to come back to the U.S. and raise $100,000. That was our plan. But the Lord is continuing to tell us that that's not enough. I was just at a church the other day that committed $25,000 on a drop of a hat. You see, all the money that we need to reach the unreached is already in the church. There are people that can literally write a $5,000-$10,000 check today. Not just in this church, but in churches all over North Carolina, over 300 churches in North Carolina. We know that God can do anything, and we want to see him do it. And not only that, but we want to be a part of it. You see, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, he didn't plan for them to do it alone. He wanted them to do it in partnership, together. The Apostle Paul, as he was writing his letters, he desired to go and preach where Christ was never been named. But he desired to do it with churches. Every letter he wrote was to an existing church. He wanted to remind them to pray for him, to support him as he traveled. Even the book of Romans is a missionary support letter. At the very end, he closes his letter with, I want to visit you, but really I want to go to Spain and I would like you to support me as I go. I want you to help me get there. The Apostle Paul knew that we couldn't do it alone. And so we're asking you to come alongside us. That when the Assemblies of God was founded in 1914, they desired to see the greatest evangelism the world had ever seen. We want to see that today. We want to see that in this generation. We want to see that in this year. We want to see God do stuff never before thought possible. Our leadership has now asked us within the Assemblies of God World Missions to reach outside of ourselves, not just to work in one country, but now Mariah and I are responsible for 15 countries. You thought 30 churches wasn't enough for 5,000. What about the 30 million people, 50 million people that don't know Christ in these other countries? We're going to be traveling. We're going to be going to these places. We're going to be preaching the gospel. We're going to be building churches. We're going to be impacting communities. But we can't do it alone, and we would not want to. We need people to come alongside, to pray for us, to help us, to lift us up, to support us financially, to support us monthly. We need people. You see, when the disciples were before Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, the task was too big. He told them, go make disciples of the entire world. But the task was way too big for them. But that's why he said, I'm with you always. Because the Great Commission wasn't supposed to inspire anxiety. It was supposed to give you hope that he has a plan. But I'm here to tell you that plan is you. That plan is me. That plan is Pastor Wallace and Pastor Mike. That plan is each and every person in here. That we would be beacons of hope for those that are broken and hurting around us. That God would do something through you that he cannot do any other way. He is literally waiting for you to pray that the breakthrough would happen in these parts of West Africa. He's waiting for you to pray for the breakthrough to happen in our ministry. He's waiting for you to pray that these pews would all be full, that there would be people standing outside like we see in Africa. He's waiting for you to have enough faith to ask him for anything, to be a living sacrifice, dedicated completely to him. We understand that some can't go to Africa, but I tell you, there are some in this room that definitely should. There's people in this room that should go to all corners of the earth. There's people in this room that God is calling at the very sound of my voice to give up everything for him. I was talking to a believer, and he said, it's exhausting following Jesus. It's exhausting. He said, every day I come forward, and there's sin, and I have to overcome it. And then there's another thing. You see, Jesus always raises the bar. He always raises the standard. He doesn't want you to feel like you've accomplished it. It's exhausting following Jesus. But I tell you today, he's so worth it. He is worth it. He is worth it. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We understand that some of you would like to be a part of what's going on. We have, if you could put up the third slide, I don't know if they can do that. You can connect with us. You can connect with Wallace, Pastor Wallace. You can connect with our table outside. We'd love to connect with you. I understand that some of you want to help, and we would love to have that happen. But right now, this is about something else. It's not about me, it's about him and his global purpose for the redemption of mankind. I believe that he is calling some of you to do something outside of yourselves. Maybe he's calling you to give, maybe he's calling you to go. I know at the very least he's asking you to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out. At the very least he's asking you to pray for missionaries. But I believe today in this congregation, in this church, and even online, the Lord is beginning to minister to you. and asking you to do something that you don't want to do. That you're beginning to block out, you're beginning to doubt, you're beginning to think about the outcome. Forget about it. Step forward in faith today. Ask him to do something only he can do. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Then you will know what his will is. Not before. He's not going to tell you before, but there's hope. He doesn't want it to be a mystery. He wants his will for your life to be clear, because the sooner you get it, the sooner you start. We're going to pray that today. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what you've held back, what you've desired not to sacrifice. Let him show it to you. Let him show you your Isaac today. Ask him to break your heart for what breaks his. Ask him to show you something you never imagined today. He says that he will show you things that you could not even imagine if you would ask him. Ask him what it is and then give it to him immediately. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. I thank you. You are doing something in this congregation that you have never done before. You are speaking to hearts that have never heard before. You are ministering to people that have held things from you for years. I've met too many people, Lord, that tell me that they were called to missions when they were children and they held it and they didn't go, and now they're 60 and they're retired and they still don't go. Lord, there are people in this congregation that have held it from you. I believe you are raising up people, not one, not two, not three, but more, to go out from this place and impact the world. That missionaries will be raised up from this place. That people all over North Carolina, all over the East Coast, would know that these people came from Carpenter Shop International Church, that they would know that they were called by you, that they could sense the anointing on their life, God. But I pray in Jesus' name that everyone within the sound of my voice would hear you speaking to them in this moment, that Holy Spirit, you would begin to move on these hearts, not only to go, but to support. It's my desire that every single person in this congregation would begin to support missionaries financially. That every single person in this congregation would catch the vision that the Assemblies of God had at the start, to be a place to send missionaries out to the hardest and most difficult places of the earth. That every person in this congregation would begin to do what you've called them to do, big or small. No matter what it looks like in front of them, no matter what it looks like to the people beside them, but that you would use them today, Lord. I'm going to ask if anyone in this congregation, big or small, if you sense the Holy Spirit calling you to do something you've never done before, calling you to do something that's bigger than you could possibly do, I ask you to come forward, to come out in faith and ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you obey, not before you obey. I don't ask that the Holy Spirit give you the courage to come out of the pews. Ask him to give it to you as you come forward. Holy Spirit, begin to move on these hearts. Do something in this congregation. Raise up a new generation of people that would be totally sold out, that would do anything to see the lost reached. That 3 billion people who don't know the gospel would begin to know it because of obedient servants of Christ who have come forward today. Do something today, we ask. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Yes, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, there is still time. There is still time. Come forward. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to minister alongside you. We would love to be a part of what God is doing as you say yes, as you commit yourself. We would love to see it, to be able to testify before other people of the goodness of God. and what he has done in your lives. Jesus, bring them forward.
Oh, darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Come flood these
this morning. Come on, worship him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Truly God is moving in the hearts of people and speaking to hearts. I'm just believing today that, you know, I believe in impartation. I believe that God chooses times and seasons for the impartation of his spirit, the spirit of one person, the call of one person to just be made aware to another. And that's the heart of what we've heard today. I don't know if you are convinced or not, but Kevin and Mariah Thompson are not playing games with missions. And I hear the Lord saying today that he's called you and established you to be a general. That you will see in front of you in the months and the years to come, that you will see that the Holy Spirit has already charted a path for forward momentum, for upward movement. You know, I used to be such a fan, if there's not a better word, of a man that I have amazing respect for, and I met through meeting my wife, and she was my girlfriend. We married, and God opened me up to meet different people. And I'm going to drop his name in just a moment, but I thought, Lord, why am I receiving this? And he said, you tell Kevin this. I said, okay. I said, God, why'd you do this to me this morning? He said, well, you're teaching on spiritual gifts, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And I was praying for you this morning, and as you were ministering, I thought, God, impart that spirit to so many people. And I saw people move forward. And it wasn't about a tabernacle, and it wasn't about, a trip, but it was about a lifestyle change. And so I know some of you received that this morning, but as I was praying for you, the Lord gave me a face of a man that I have utmost respect for, and he said, I'm going to cause him to be, and he said, a Bob McCulley, okay? And in the history of missions, I've got a lot of respect for missionaries, but Bob McCulley ranks to me as a general, okay? He's been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt and given his life in such a manner that you described today. And so, Lord, I just thank you for Kevin and Mariah. Thank you, God, for that Jeremiah 1:4-5 calling on their lives. Before you even formed them in the womb, you knew them. You ordained for them to be prophets to the nations. And Lord, I thank you that you are charting the course for them, ahead of them, not just in months, not just in years, but decades. Lord, you are charting the course for them to make a mark on the earth, God, as you designed for them to make. And Lord, I thank you for provision in every way. I thank you, God, that you would with clarity, they would hear your voice say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Every move, it seems like when you look at what you've done, Lord, in their lives, it's almost like a checker match. And we were going one way and all of a sudden had to skip to another block. But nothing caught you by surprise. And so thank you, Lord, that you are their Jehovah Jireh. You are their Jehovah Shalom, their peace. You are their El Shaddai, the one who pours forth and provides more than enough. And God, I just bless them today. I bless these generals of the faith that are on a forward movement to God, to all that you have for them. Thank you for faithfulness. Thank you for dedication. Thank you for commitment. Thank you for all of these things. And I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you guys. Well, I think today is, you can be seated for a second. I think today is far more, as much or more about us as it is about them. Okay. I really do. I believe that God is doing something in this house today that that if we knew it all, it would probably shake us. But anybody here would say, Pastor, I just feel as a witness. And sometimes you step out in faith, and for you to make a proclamation is a powerful thing. For hearing what Kevin had to say today, you'd say, Pastor, God shook me in a way that I wasn't really ready for, but I feel a divine call to mission on my life. Would you stand up right where you are and just feel a divine call to mission on my life? Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Divine call to mission. Amen. This young lady gave her heart to Jesus this morning. We had other salvations in the house. We didn't even extend a call for salvation, and two people got saved today. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Kevin, Mariah, would you just pray for these? Would you guys that are coming for mission, come on. Come on, just everybody for mission. You got a divine call in your life for mission. Because I believe in impartation. I just asking God to just continue that. Seal the deal today for these that are here. For the rest of you, I want us to receive an offering today. Receive an offering today for all that God is doing in their lives. We've had a great, great, great experience with partnering with the Thompsons. From this church, you guys built one of those 21. Amen? We built one of those. Not only financially, but physically sent workers to establish that building. Finished it on a Friday night, first service, over 400 people showed up. And so if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about giving, just respond today, and let's continue to move down the path of blessing, because you can't outgive God. Amen. You just can't. And you give and He gives back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So Father, we bless this offering now, this mission offering. May it be a part of what you are providing for the Thompsons, Lord, on the foreign field, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on and feel free to come and bless in the mission offering if God's laid it on your heart today. We appreciate that. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving. Those of you that responded for mission, you feel like there's a mission call on your life, pull your phone out right quick. If you responded for a mission call, I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to give you your new account number, okay? This is your account number. 252-287-4400. That's your account number. Okay, Pastor Mike, come here, man. Come here. That's Pastor Mike's cell phone, okay? All right. Now, you can't get money in that account, but I can tell you what you can get. Accountability. Amen? For the decision that you made today, okay? 252-287-4400. He responds best by text, okay? That's been my experience. But what I want you to do is register a text message to him today, okay? And just express what you feel the Holy Spirit has done in your life. Just a brief text and say, hey, this is Reese, this is Mara, this is Noah, whatever. I want to share this with you. And just let him have an indication of what God has spoken to your life, okay? And wow, what a day. Come on, somebody. What a day. What a day. What a day. Thank you guys online for watching today and participating. And if you feel called to missions in your life online, hey, drop us a message and we'll be sure to respond to you. Thank you for being a part of the worship experience today. In the foyer in the back near the cafe, there are some refreshments. There's a cake there, some beverages there. Let's celebrate with our family, the Hall family today. God bless them. Come on, just share some cake and some celebration. And hey, God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Stay dry, all right? God bless you.